Book of Ezekiel. The Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel, will be in chapter number 22 tonight. This is a message that I've been reading through my Old Testament, and I read through in Ezekiel, and whenever I come to this, it really spoke to me. And that's been a few months ago, and I knew that I needed to preach it, but I just didn't have no liberty to make an outline for it and everything at that time. But I preached this past week at Gethsemane on Wednesday night, and the Lord opened up that opportunity to preach it then. And it's a good message. It's not a good message because I'm the one who wrote down my outline. It's not a good message because I preached it. It's a good message because it comes from the Word of God. And that's what makes it a good message. A lot of people say, well, this person is a great preacher, and this person's a great preacher, and I agree, as long as they're preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
And everybody has their favorite style preacher. Everybody likes the way that some preachers do things, but substance is more important than style. And that's what we need to be interested in is the substance, what they're preaching, as long as it's the true King James Bible.
Amen.
But we're going to begin our reading here. I need to switch microphones. Here. All right, there we go. But we're going to start reading in Ezekiel chapter number 22, starting in verse number 23. And I see just about everybody standing, so that's good. Verse number 23, the Bible said, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and the precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Thank you. You may be seated. Dear Lord, tonight, God, I pray that you would take this passage that was wrote almost 600 years before you were born, God, before you were born in Bethlehem, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us to take this passage, Lord, and apply it to our life. God, help us to apply it to our heart. Lord, help us to just apply it to our land. God, there's so many applications that could be made with this passage, Lord, that could help us. And God, I pray that you would use this passage, Lord, to help us in our life. God, there's none of us that's arrived yet. There's none of us that's there yet. There's none of us that don't need no help from you. God, we all need your help, Lord, from the greatest to the least, from the oldest to the youngest. And God, I pray that you would give us some help tonight. Lord, I thank you for everybody that's come tonight. I'm thankful that everybody wanted to be in the house of God. And Lord, I pray for the ones that ain't here, that I pray they'll want to come next Sunday. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this time. I thank you for this church. And God, I pray that you would help me to preach tonight the message that you laid upon my heart. God, help us to love you more tomorrow than we did today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But I'd like to preach tonight a message that I entitled, From Holy to Horrible. from holy to horrible. There's a lot of things in our life that start out as good things. Their start is really good. But over time, things happen. Things change. And they can become really bad. They went from really good to really bad. I thought about some things like that that I've seen in my life. I thought about holidays is that way a lot of times. What better holiday is there than Christmas? What better holiday than a day that celebrates the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's a great day to be celebrated above everybody. Among everybody, it's a great day to be celebrated. But now in 2023, you see people getting ready for Christmas. And you see Christmas trees. And you see Santa Claus. And you see things like that, stockings. That ain't got nothing to do with Jesus. The holiday is about Jesus Christ. It started out good, but now it ended up bad. It ain't about Jesus no more. We got kids growing up today, Brother Eddie, that don't know nothing about Christmas other than Santa Claus. But it's about Jesus Christ. It's something that started out good, but now look at it. I'm not saying I'm against Santa Claus. I'm not saying that I'm against having a Christmas tree. But what I am saying is that if we don't remember what it's about, we'll forget the way it started. And the way that it started is the way that it's supposed to be. I thought about holidays. Now, I've not experienced this, but I thought about it. I've seen it. Marriages start out good a lot of times. I know that can be very personal to people. People have experienced it. People has family that's experienced it. Well, if you know what I'm talking about, then you'll really be able to relate to this. There was something that started out great. We hear about the honeymoon phase. Last maybe 7, 8 years where you're just in love with each other. You can't get enough of each other. And then 10 years later, you can't stand each other. You say, what happened? It started out good. It ended up bad. There's marriages that in that way. Are they supposed to be that way? No. What God has put together, let no man put asunder. It ain't a good thing, but it's something that happens. Everything good ain't always reality. It's something that happens. It ain't supposed to, but it happens. What happens? Something started out good, ended up bad. Life is that way a lot of times. I was talking to a friend yesterday. I was me and him were riding to a wedding together. He's a lost man, and I figured if I could get him in the truck with me for an hour, I might be able to witness to him a little bit. But we got to talking about life, and we got to talking about how things are. And I think that he's somewhere around 32, 33, something like that, and I'm 21. But we just got to talking about life and how much life changes. And I got to talking to him about this. I said, you know, life, it always starts out good. Childhood is great. The few kids that's in here tonight, I mean, y'all play, y'all have a good time, y'all never worry about nothing, you ain't got to never pay for nothing, it's just fine. But as you grow up, start having problems. Have to get a job. Got to wake up every morning, go to work. Got bills to pay. Got people to deal with. And just life changes. It starts out great, but it can end up bad. That's just the way it is. I thought about a lot of things that have started out good, but end up bad. Not only is there several things that start out good and end up bad, but there's also several things in life that have a certain mark on them. They have a certain distinction so that you can tell that they're different. One thing I thought about was milk is that way. If you was to go to the grocery store, Brother Layton, and you was to go over there to where they got the milk in the refrigerator, Brother Greg, me and him was talking about Legacy milk, they only make one kind. It's got the red top. That means it's whole milk. If you was to go to Walmart, you could get that blue top. That blue top, it's showing that milk is 2%. If you was to go and get one that had a green top on it, that means that it's buttermilk. If you was to go and get one that had a pink top on it, that means that it's skim milk. And if you're going and you're buying that, you got problems. That stuff is awful. That stuff ain't real milk. That's cloudy water is what that is. That stuff ain't good for nothing. Somebody say amen right there. Might as well just not even drink nothing. But what I'm saying is there's things that's got a special mark that distinctions them from something else. Now, if he was to take off that top, they all look the same. They're all in a jug. They're all white. But that top is the thing that separates them. I thought about a traffic light, Brother Eddie. I remember learning whenever I was a young kid, it was a long time before I ever turned 16. It was a long time before I ever had to take a driving test. I remember that green, it means go. Red means stop. And yellow means go really fast. As fast as you can. Stomp on it whenever it turns yellow. I remembered that. I still use that today, amen. I ain't got no time to wait. Amen. I got to come to church a lot of times. Hey, don't act like you ain't never run a red light to get to church. Hey, I've done it. You've done it. You ain't that spiritual. But there's a lot of things that start out good, end up bad. Whenever things start out good and end up bad, they can eventually lose their meaning. They can lose its value. It can lose its importance. And whenever things are no longer separated, that are supposed to be separated, and they're all just together, it can become very confusing.
Amen.
Very confusing. Imagine if you was to reach in your refrigerator and grab a jug of milk and you didn't know which one it was, and you was to pour you a bowl of Cheerios with your buttermilk. That wouldn't be very good. That'd be very confusing.
Amen.
Because something that was supposed to be separated wasn't. There's four things that I see here in this passage that God put in place. There was things that God had ordained to be that way. And they started out good. But because of man's help, because of time, because there was men who got a hold of these things that had no business getting a hold of them, they went from holy to horrible. From holy to horrible. Number one, look at verse number 26 with me. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither had they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Number one, I see priests that profane. Priests that profane. They had profaned the holy things of God. I know that today we are living in the church age. I understand that. I understand that we ain't in a synagogue tonight, that we're in a church. And we ain't got no priest. We believe in the priesthood of the believer, that we ain't got to go to a man and go to God. We can go to God right on our own. We can come boldly into the throne room of grace. I know that. I understand that. But if we was going to apply this passage today to our life, to our church, to the way that we do things, we could think of these priests as the pastors of churches today.
Amen.
Think with me about this. There is pastors who profane God's holy things. Pastors, that word pastor, it means a shepherd.
Yeah.
It means somebody who's going to guide people. And we have a great pastor here at Bethel Independent Baptist Church. We have one of the best. I think we got the best there ever was. I love Brother Rick. But something that we don't always think about, something we don't always remember, Brother Eddie, is that every church ain't got a pastor as good as we got. There is pastors out there who have profaned the holy things of God. And you ought to thank God that we got a pastor like we do. Because there are pastors out there who have profaned the holy things of God. I'm talking about modern pastors. I'm talking about these ones who have traded in the holy for the unholy. You say, well, what have they profaned? Number one, they have profaned the Holy Bible.
Yeah.
The Bible is holy. If you was to open up your Bible and you go on maybe the first or second page, it'll say the Holy Bible.
Amen.
That word Bible, you will not find the word Bible in your Bible. That word Bible, it means book.
Yeah.
It is saying that that book right there, if it's a King James, that Bible is a holy Bible. It's a holy book. And there have been preachers, there have been priests, there have been pastors who have profaned the holy word of God. There are over 200 versions of the Bible. I tell you, I don't even like saying the King James Version. I don't even like saying that. You know why? Because it ain't a version, it is the Bible.
Amen.
The New American Standard Version. The New International Version. The one they all use now, English Standard Version. Those are all versions.
Yeah.
They're all corrupt versions. But this ain't the King James Version. This is the King James Bible.
Amen.
I believe that. This is the Bible. It is the Word of God. And I'm thankful that we got it today. I'm thankful that those holy men of God that translated this into our language so that we could read it, and that God's hand was upon them so that they could do it without mistake and without error. Just as God inspired the men to write this book, I know that He also guided them men that translated this book. I think about Revelation chapter number 22. I think about verse number 18 and verse number 19, Brother Eddie. If you was to flip over there and read that, I'm not going to say it word for word, but what it's saying, it said that if any man take away from this book, I will take away his name out of the book of life. If any man add to the words of this book, I will add to him plagues. Taking away and adding to. That's what all these new versions are. That's what every single one of them is. They say, well, no, it just took out the these and thous. No, it didn't. That ain't all it. If you was to get, maybe, I think it's the first one that ever was done called the Revised Version, the RV. If you was to get that one and open it up, you probably wouldn't even be able to tell a difference between that and the King James just looking at it, because it'll still say stuff like standeth, sitteth, looketh, waiteth. Things like that. They didn't change it to take out those words. They changed it to take out words like blood, Christ, Jesus.
Yeah.
And hey, if you're sitting here tonight and you think, well, I just can't understand it. Them other words are easier, or them other versions are easier to understand. Hey, they're also easier to misguide you.
Yeah,
you better look out, and you better learn what thee and thou mean.
Yeah.
And if you can't figure that out, I don't even know how you do anything.
Amen.
It ain't that hard.
Amen.
Everybody says, I can't understand it. Well, you can't understand nothing then, if you can't understand that. People want to put in zero effort for the things of God.
Amen.
It don't matter whether it's reading. Hey, Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself proved. People want to put in zero effort for the things of God. Don't want to reach in their pocket and give somebody a gospel tract. How hard was that? Zero effort. They want to put in zero effort.
Amen.
Pastors have profaned the Holy Bible.
Good.
That word profane, it means irreverent, or showing irreverence to anything sacred.
Yeah.
It means to pollute. It means not pure. It's where we get our word profanity. What is profanity? It's saying words that are ugly words, words that are bad words.
Yeah.
Profanity.
Amen.
We have a holy Bible.
That's right.
We have a perfect Bible. I thought about an old George Jones song, Brother Eddie. All of George Jones' songs you don't need to listen to. There's some of them that are bad. But I thank God there's some of them that's good because I like his singing. But there's one song that he sang and he said, there's nothing better once you've had the best. And we have the best Bible.
Yeah.
We have the perfect Bible. You ain't going to find one that's no better, because there ain't nothing better once you've had the best.
Amen.
Pastors have profaned the Holy Bible, the Holy Word of God. They have also profaned the Holy Church.
Yeah.
The Holy Church. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter number 16, verse 18, He said to Peter, He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He was talking about Peter whenever Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Thou art Peter." That word Peter, it means little rock. He said, "You are a little rock, Peter, but upon this rock, upon the thing that you just said, I will build my church." God's church is founded upon that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the Messiah. That's what the church is founded upon. But there's so many churches today, let me say, churches today that are founded upon everything else besides Jesus Christ being the Son of God and Jesus Christ being the one who needs to be worshipped. He said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church." He didn't say, "Upon this rock I'll build my nightclub." He didn't say, "Upon this rock I will build my honky-tonk."
Amen.
He didn't say, "My karaoke bar."
Amen.
He didn't say, "My bingo hall."
Amen.
He didn't say, "A place where people can come and give motivational speeches."
Amen.
"To self-improve yourself, self-help."
Amen.
He didn't say, "Upon this rock I build my rock concert."
Amen.
He said, "Upon this rock I build my church." This church, this place. I understand that the word church, it means people. We are the church. I understand that. So many people just love to throw that in your face and just tell you that the building don't matter, what you do don't matter, because we are the church. Hey, I agree with that. But this place is where we meet to serve God. This place don't need to be profane. This place needs to be sacred. We don't need no crazy music. We don't need no electric guitars. I know there's people that play them. I'm saying we don't need no rock concert. We don't need nothing like that. We need music that is good and holy before the Lord. We need preachers that are good and holy before the Lord and will lift up their voice as a trumpet like He told Isaiah, and to cry against that great city like He told Jonah, and to preach the Word of God like He told Timothy.
Amen.
They have profaned the Holy Church. There's churches today that got smoke machines, strobe lights. Why in the world is that in a church? I heard Brother Rick say one time, he said, "I'm going to show y'all how old I am." He said, "Now they've got smoke machines inside the church. Used to, they stood outside the front door." Amen. I'd rather have one standing outside the front door than one at the altar. And they ain't even got, well, they ain't even got no altar. They don't even have no altar. They ain't even got no pulpit. And these modern churches, you know what they got? It's really crazy to me that they even put one of these there. They'll have a pub table like you'd see in a bar. That's what they got for their pulpit. The pulpit is a biblical thing to have. If you read the book of Nehemiah, he didn't stand behind the pulpit. He actually stood on top of the pulpit. And I ain't going to do that tonight. I ain't going to attempt that. That's what Nehemiah did. I'm going to stand behind it. I'm really comfortable right here behind it. I might not have as good balance if I got up on top of it. My head actually probably hit the ceiling. That'd be hard to preach. But there's pastors that have profaned the holy things.
Amen.
They profaned the Holy Bible. They've profaned the Holy Church. And there's several of them that have profaned the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
By the way, you won't read about the Holy Ghost in these new versions. You will never find the word Holy Ghost. It'll say Holy Spirit. And our Bible says Holy Spirit too. But the Holy Ghost is the same thing, but they take Him out of the equation. There's some denominations around us that teach that the Holy Ghost is the Bible. That is not true. The Holy Ghost is not the Bible. The Holy Ghost is its own being. It's its own thing. See, our schedules get interrupted a lot of times by the Holy Ghost. what we think is the right thing to do. We come this morning, we come to sing, we come to sing together, we come to have the choir sing, we come to have announcements given, we come to have prayer, we come to have offering, we come to have preaching, we come to have invitation, and we come to leave. That's our schedule. That's the way we do things. But whenever the Holy Ghost gets into service, he can interrupt that schedule sometimes. We've all been in them services where there wasn't no preaching. God got in the singing, and we had prayer at the altar. And the Holy Ghost can interrupt our schedule. And the way we think, things need to be done. I have a friend of mine that I graduated with. His dad is a pastor. And I actually preached at the church that his dad pastors, my first time going anywhere else. But he was telling me a story one time that his dad had took this little country church. It was out in the middle of nowhere. And there wasn't but a handful of people that went there. But he had took this church to be their pastor. And there was an old woman who sat on the front row, and she had been going there for years. Years on years. She had seen so many pastors. She had seen so many people come and go. She had been there the whole time. I believe her dad might have been the first pastor or something like that. She had been there for a long time. You know how old people are. They don't like to change their schedule. I don't like change either myself. And I'm not, y'all know what I mean. I ain't going to apologize for that. But you know what I'm saying. But this woman was sitting on the front row, and his dad was preaching. My friend's dad, the pastor, was preaching. They started like we do at 11 o'clock. And at 12 o'clock sharp, that woman lifted up her wrist and went. She didn't care about the Holy Ghost. She cared about her schedule, about her time. There's sometimes it happens to me that as soon as my belly grumbles at church on Sunday morning, I'm thinking, when is he going to get done? Looking for something to eat. Hey, it ain't supposed to be that way. We need to be led by the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost of God don't ask us what our schedule is. He don't ask us what plans we got after church. He ain't asking us if we go and fish it on Sunday. The Holy Ghost of God is wanting you to do what Jesus Himself would do.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter number 5, verse 25 says that if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you have been regenerated by God, if you have been born again, and the Holy Ghost is living inside you, that's great, that's wonderful. But you need to let the Spirit of God guide your life and guide your goings. Guide what you do. And you need to obey the Spirit of the Lord. Luke Vaught, who comes from time to time, my friend who sings with the Inspirations, I think it was his first song that they let him sing by himself on a recording of theirs. And the song is called Obey the Spirit of the Lord. And that's a wonderful song. If you hadn't heard it, you need to listen to it. The Inspirations, Obey the Spirit of the Lord. That's a biblical song.
Yeah.
Bible says to vex not the Holy Ghost, quench not the Spirit, over there in 1 Thessalonians, I believe. But see, these priests, they had profaned the holy. Not only had they profaned the holy, but they had not parted the holy and the unholy. There was no separation. There was no distinction. There was no difference. They had not parted the holy from the unholy. There was no difference. That word difference in our text, that word means distinction. There was no distinction between them. You couldn't tell them apart. We need to be different today from the world. We as the saved church of God. We as the ones who have been transformed. Who our whole lives have been turned upside down. And we're a new creature. If we really are a new creature. If something that happened in 1 Thessalonians or, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17 really happened.
Yeah.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If that's happened, we have got to be separate from the world. We have got to be different from the world.
Amen.
in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 17, Paul wrote, he said, "Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." There's things that we need to be different about in our life. We don't need to go the same place as the world goes. We don't need to do the same things the world does. We need to be different. Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, the Bible said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God."
Amen.
We need to be separate from the world, not conformed to it. You know, if you're around somebody long enough, if you spend enough time with them, you might start picking up on a phrase they use.
You're right.
You might start picking up on a mannerism they have. You might start picking up a habit that they got. And that's just the way it goes. That's just the way we are as humans. What we're around, we'll start adapting to and picking up things.
Amen.
And it's the same way with the world. If you get out in the world and you start staying out there and you start doing those things that they do and you think, well, this little thing won't hurt or that little thing won't hurt or I'll just do this once or I'll just do this once, hey, you will start being like them.
Amen.
And you won't be looking like Jesus.
You're right, brother.
You'll be looking like the world.
You're right.
And that is not what we need.
Amen.
That is not what the Bible says. We need to be different. We need to be different in our attitude.
Amen.
We need to be different in our language,
yes,
in our work ethic, in our dress,
yeah,
in our entertainment choices. We need to be different from the world.
Amen.
We need to be different.
Amen.
You know, I don't listen. I no longer listen to music about sitting on a bar stool.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I no longer listen to those songs that's talking about, "I think I'll just stay here and drink."
Amen.
You know why? Because I can't relate to that.
Amen.
I can't relate to that. I don't want no part of that.
Amen.
But if you was to sing a song, "I'll fly away,"
yeah,
I can relate to that.
Amen.
I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm going to fly away someday.
Woo.
If you was to sing a song, if Luke was to come here tonight and sing a song about obey the Spirit of the Lord, I'd say amen. We need to obey the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
I can relate to that. I can relate to that. He sang a song. He sang a song for the first time, the first night that I ever preached my sermon. He come here and he sang a song. And it's going to be on their new album. And he said, "I can see Calvary." He said, "From the highest mountain and to the lowest valley, I can always see Calvary." I can relate to that.
Yeah.
No matter what situation I'm in, no matter what I'm going through, no matter whether I'm at the top of the mountain or I'm in the lowest valley,
yeah,
I can always see Calvary.
Yeah.
And thank God for sending His Son to die upon Calvary's cross,
yeah,
to die for me.
Amen.
I love that kind of music. I can relate to that music.
Yeah.
I can't relate to "My Woman Left Me." Number one, I can't relate to that. Number two, I can't relate to coping with it by going down to the bar.
Amen.
You flip on the country music station and tell me I'm lying. It's what they're all about.
Yeah.
Need to be careful of that stuff. You start listening to it long enough and you think it ain't doing nothing to you, but it'll do something to you. It'll do something to you. They had profaned the holy. They had not parted the holy from the unholy.
Amen.
And they had not presented God, or they had presented God in a bad way. They had not presented God in a good way,
Amen,
but in a bad way. Look at the last part of our verse there, in verse number 26. God said, lastly, last line, He said, "And I am profaned among them." God said that He was profaned. Is God profane? Does God use profanity? Is God that way? No, He's not. God is all holy. God is all powerful. God is all perfect. God is all good.
Yeah.
But these people, the pastors,
yeah,
of the churches
Amen.
Had made God to look bad. We today are to be representations of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 20, where Paul wrote, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors. That word ambassador, it means that there's somebody from one country who's going to another country to represent them on their behalf. We are not part of this world. If you are saved by the blood of Christ, if you have been transformed, if you have been converted, if you have been born again, you are not of this world. We are from a different country.
Amen.
Bible said that our conversation is in heaven.
Amen.
That means our citizenship belongs in heaven.
Amen.
We are no longer a citizen of the United States, and that's what I'm about, and that's where I'm from. No, God comes before our country.
Amen.
And we are from the Lord. We have been born by Him, and we have come to this place. We have come to Glasgow. We have come to Kentucky. And we ain't supposed to be about, I ain't saying that you shouldn't wear white and blue for Kentucky. I ain't saying that. What I am saying is you better be more concerned about serving Christ and representing Him than you are some football team.
Amen.
You better be more concerned about representing your Savior than representing the SEC. I used to love basketball. I still love basketball. Still play it every week with some buddies at Gethsemane. Love basketball. Used to love watching it. Never did care for the NBA, but I liked the NCAA, the SEC. I love Kentucky. I was a big Kentucky fan. I bled blue. Now if I get a cut, I bleed red. I probably did then too. But anyway, what I'm saying is I loved it. Loved that stuff. Watch every game. Back then, my grandpa was living. Gary Huddleston was living. I got him to somehow enjoy it. I don't know how. He always hated sports. But my grandma would always cook. We'd have a big time watching them games. And then 2020 happened. And the NCAA tournament got canceled. And the games that they did, the SEC tournament got canceled. And then from that point on, every game they'd have, they would kneel for the national anthem and Black Lives Matter this, Black Lives Matter that. That's when I quit watching it. But anyway, no matter even then, no matter what it is, we always need to be more concerned about representing Christ than representing something of this world. Because Jesus is eternal. Heaven is eternal. God's Word is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. All these things that are worldly, all these things that are temporal, all these things that pertain to this life are going to be done one day. But what you did for Jesus is what's going to matter. The Bible said that our labor of love is not in vain. What we do for God is what's going to last. What we do for God is what matters. Not how much money you make. Not how much money you leave to your kids, but it's about what you do for God.
Amen.
I'm not saying them things are bad. I'm just saying that we so many times think that that's what we need to do. I need to worry about what kind of legacy I'm going to leave for my kids and what I've done in my community. Hey, you need to worry about getting saved.
Amen.
And once you get saved, you need to worry about doing something for God.
Amen.
They had profaned the holy. I'm talking about these priests that profaned. We could relate it to pastors. They had profaned the holy. They had not parted the holy and unholy. They had presented God in a bad way. And y'all think that I'm done. That was my first point. I preached at Morrison Park a few weeks ago. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. My first night was on Thursday night. And I didn't realize it till I asked Brother Caleb on the last night. I said, how long did I preach Thursday? He said, well, the first night you preached for an hour and 15 minutes. The second night you preached for an hour and 5 minutes. And tonight you preached for 50 minutes. I was slowly declining. But I didn't preach yesterday. And I didn't preach Friday. So here we go. I'm going to try not to go too long, but I want to say what God wants me to say. Point number two. Firstly, it was the priest that profane. And number two, we got the princes that profit. Princes that profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. Not P-R-O-P-H-E-T. P-R-O-F-I-T. Princes that profit. Look at verse number 27. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Dishonest gain. These princes, they were in a political position. They were in a position of power. They were in a position of authority over people.
Yeah.
We could relate these princes today to politicians.
Yeah.
To politicians. That's how we could relate these people. We could relate the princes that profit to our modern day politicians. Politicians need to understand that God's things are holy. They need to recognize that. It was Belshazzar in Daniel chapter number 5 that said, you know, we've got all these things from the temple that we looted and took. He said, we're going to have a big old party. Go in there and get me them cups or whatever them things was, them glasses from the temple. I think the Bible says the vessels from the temple. Go in there and get them and we're going to drink our wine out of them. I got a good idea. That's a good idea. We're going to have a big old time. And his party got crashed by the hand that appeared as a man's hand writing upon the wall. The Bible said that, you know, we hear the phrase, our knees are knocking if we get real scared. That comes from the Bible.
Yeah.
It said that his knees smote one another. It scared him to death.
Yeah.
And he profaned the holy things of God.
Sure,
he took something that belonged to God and used it for his own sin.
Amen.
He took something that started out good and ended up bad.
Amen.
You say, well, what's the big deal? The hand wrote on the wall. So what? He died that night.
Yeah.
God killed him that night.
Yeah.
That night.
Amen.
Shows how seriously God takes His things. It don't matter what your position is. He was the king. Don't matter what position you're in.
Amen.
Politicians need to realize that.
Amen.
It don't matter how many votes they got.
Amen.
It don't matter what election they stole.
That's it.
It don't matter about none of that. It don't matter how much they get paid.
Amen.
It don't matter how many world leaders recognize them. You ain't above God.
Amen.
And God has some things that are holy and don't need to be messed with.
Amen.
It said they were ravening the prey. See, whenever we have a bad politician, whenever we have a bad president, a bad governor, it ain't the people of Afghanistan they come after. It ain't the people of Iran that they go after. It ain't even the people of Mexico, the people of Canada. In 2020, it wasn't Andy Beshear that wanted to stop church in Australia. He wasn't wanting to stop church in Africa.
Amen.
Said ravening the prey. The prey is their own people.
Amen.
They always come after their own people.
Amen.
The deacon. Deacon Andy.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? The deacon shutting down churches, sending the police to come to your church if you come.
Yeah.
Ravening the prey. They would prey on their own people. These politicians, they prey on us, their own people.
Amen.
Number two, it said they destroy souls. Ravening the prey, like wolves, ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls. How many of you know that it ain't the teachers that took the prayer out of school? It wasn't the principal that took the prayer out of school. It wasn't none of them. It was the legislation, the people who brung the legislation, which were politicians.
Amen.
And took it out of school.
Amen.
Destroying souls.
Yeah.
How many kids that might have got to pray? Who might have... My grandpa was telling me when he was a kid, he went to Austin Tracy, he said they would have a Bible study and they would pray every day in their class.
Amen.
Every day. And you got kids who don't even know about Jonah, don't even know about the whale. I work with a young kid. He does co-op with his school. He comes in the morning, leaves in the afternoon. And he growed up in a United Baptist church. Baptist. They say Baptist. But they don't preach the Bible. Most of them don't. I asked him, I said, "Do you know about Jonah and the whale?" He said, "What?" Didn't even know that. But he went to a church that didn't preach the Bible. He went to a church where they preach against putting hamburger pickles on their hamburger and whatever else they think is a good idea. Just silly. Silly stuff. But what if he would have learned that in school? Had prayer in school. What if I would have grown up in a school where we had prayer and had a Bible class? Kids who've never heard the name of Jesus, who would have heard it if it was like it was then. Destroying souls. That's what these politicians are trying to do. They might think, I would never want to do that to somebody. I would never want somebody to go to hell because of what I did. They might really think that. But the devil is using them to do that very thing. The devil knows what he's doing. He knows how he's using them. They took the prayer out of school. They took the Ten Commandments off the wall. And then I've already mentioned shutting down churches. These politicians. I thought about the other day. I thought about what if somebody was going to church on Sunday morning in 2020 and they thought, "I've got to get to church. I've got to get saved today. I want to go down to that altar. I'm not even going to wait for the invitation. I want to go and I want to pray and ask God to save me." And they went to church and signed on the door. "We're closed for COVID." Destroying souls. They would raven the prey. They destroyed souls. And lastly, it said, for dishonest gain. I've heard it said that most politicians are bilingual, Brother Brian. They can speak English and they can speak every lie there ever was. I believe that's right. Most of them can't open their mouth without telling a lie. And yeah, like Brother Eddie said, both sides. I ain't advocating for the Republicans. I definitely ain't advocating for the Democrats. I'm saying politicians, all of them. We don't need a Republican in the White House. We don't need a Democrat in the White House. We don't need an independent in the White House. We need somebody that loves God in the White House is what we need. And God don't need none of them. God can do whatever He wants to do no matter who's in office. Let me remind us of that tonight. Of us who got the bad news that Andy Beshear got reelected. Hey, God is still on the throne. Yeah, it wasn't. Hey, Daniel Cameron wasn't going to turn the whole country around, our whole state around. That's something that belongs in God's hands. Now, I voted for Daniel Cameron. I'm not saying he's bad, but I'm saying that if God's going to do something, it's going to be because of God,
amen,
and not because of some man.
Amen.
But they would get this dishonest gain. Dishonest, lying. 2020 election, stolen, lied.
Amen.
It's all about money. To get dishonest gain, to get money. It's what they're all about. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse number 10, the most misquoted Bible verse of all time. "For the love of money is the root of all evil." People say that money is the root. No, it's the love of money. Love of money. These people love money. They're always after it. They're always trying to get it. I'm talking about these princes that profit, the politicians. There's the priests that profane. There's the princes that profit. And then there's the prophets that pretend. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. Prophets. Prophets that pretend. Look at verse number 28. Verse number 28. Bible said, "And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken."
Amen.
This word prophet, if we're going to say the prophets that pretend, we could relate it to modern day preachers.
Yeah.
Modern day preachers is what we could relate it to. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 15, Jesus Christ, He said, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves."
Yeah.
Now, Jesus Christ didn't warn them about, He didn't warn them about a coming alien race.
What?
Now, what, you say, why did He not do that? Because it ain't going to happen.
That's right.
He didn't warn us of dinosaurs coming back to earth.
Amen.
Why? Because it ain't a problem. It's not going to happen.
Amen.
But He said, beware of false prophets.
Right.
Jesus ain't going to try to warn us about something that ain't going to happen.
Amen.
And they're all around today. All around. In this town.
Amen.
In this county.
Amen.
They're all around. False prophets.
Amen.
Prophets that pretend. Number one, they covered for crooked politicians. They covered for them. That's in the text. That's in the text. And her prophets have dobbed them. Who's it talking about them? He's talking about the verse before it, the princes. And her prophets have dobbed them with untempered mortar. Basically what it's saying, if you've ever done drywall, you know that stuff they call mud. You got a bucket there of that mud. And you take it and you put it on the wall to cover everything up. He's talking about that mortar. He's saying they've daubed them with untempered mortar. That mud that ain't never dried. It's just got them covered. It's covered them up. You can't even tell what they are. They're just all white now. Covered. He's saying them prophets, them preachers, is the ones who covered up for them crooked politicians. I read an article that said that though there had been 1,600 so-called clergy members, people who were on staff at a church, I guess, clergy members that endorsed Joe Biden in the 2020 election. 1,600 that are so-called clergy members. You say, what happened? They're covering for a crooked politician. Andy Beshear. Is everybody okay?
Amen.
Andy Beshear goes to a Disciples of Christ church. I'm sure his whole church backed him. What happened? Is somebody covering for a crooked politician. And it said that it wasn't just talking about the people in the pew who wasn't firmly grounded. It wasn't talking about new converts. It was talking about men who were preachers. Or at least said they was. They covered for crooked politicians. And they would also counterfeit visions. They would counterfeit visions. It says it right there in the text. Seeing vanity. That seeing vanity, it means that they would have a dream. They would say they would. They would say they had this big dream. They would say, God spoke to me. In a crazy dream that I had last night. If you don't believe me, flip on the TV at about 1 a.m. tonight on the 700 Club. They'll tell you about it. They'll say, I had this dream that God wants to speak to us through a book that's not in our Bible. God spoke to me in a vision through the book of Enoch. God spoke to me in a vision through the book of 1 Maccabees. What's the problem with that? They're saying they're getting something from God that's not in the Bible. I've heard it said before that if you want to hear God speak to you, then read your Bible out loud. That's right. That's right. God spoke to us through His Word. These TV preachers will say, God told me in a vision to go down to this brook and to get this water, and it's holy water, and I've got it bottled for you, and if you send me money, I'll send it to you and you'll get better. What's the problem with that? Well, number one, if you're so stupid to believe that, you don't need to be. And number two, they're lying.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Amen.
These prophets. I'm talking about people who say they're preachers.
Yeah.
And this is the people that we have all around us today.
Amen.
Counterfeit visions. And then they would conjure up religious-sounding lies. They would sound good. They would sound religious. They would sound pious. They would sound good, but they'd just conjure up these religious-sounding lies. It said, divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken.
Amen.
How many preachers is there today? I see this crowd of these New Age preachers. And they'll never use the text of God, but they'll use their own experiences. And God spoke to me this way, and God spoke to me through this thing. What does the Bible say?
Amen.
I don't care what you think. What does what God's Word say?
Amen.
This Stephen Furtick. Raise your hand if you know who I'm talking about. Stephen Furtick. He's one of these New Age, non-denominational, apostolic, Pentecostal, charismatic type. And I've never seen him with a Bible in his hand. And he is one of these prophets at today that are seducing the younger generation. I've seen it in my generation. A friend of mine that I grew up with, haven't talked to him in years, haven't seen him in years. I've got him on Facebook and a few, I think another two social media. But he had got to where he was resharing all this Stephen Furtick stuff. And he's a genuine kid. He means well. And I told him, I said, buddy, I said, brother, I know where your heart is, but you need to be careful with this man. You need to watch out for this guy.
Amen.
Paul said to mark him and not have nothing to do with him no more.
Amen.
But I was just telling him and he didn't listen. And he said, well, God spoke to me through the words that he said. And I thought, I just told him to be careful with it. But people's going to do what they're wanting to do anyway.
Right.
That Stephen Furtick is dangerous. He said one time he was preaching about something, about if praying for something and God will give it to you. And he said, every prayer that I pray goes through. He said, I am God Almighty. Say, what happened? A prophet that pretends. We've got a lot of pretend prophets today.
Amen.
I'm not saying this to sound racist. I'm not saying this to put down anybody, but I am going to say this. We live today in a time where there's particularly these black preachers, and they call themselves apostles. I've seen so much of that lately.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there ain't no whites to do it. I don't know. But I'm just stating the fact that the majority I've seen have been black preachers. They will call themselves apostles. I have a neighbor that lives right across the road from me. And I'll be honest and confess with y'all that I have been not very good about talking to my neighbors. But this summer, I was washing my truck and it's like the Holy Ghost of God told me to go witness to my neighbors. Go talk to them. Go meet them. So I went across the road and I went over there and talked to this lady. And I asked her if she went to church anywhere, and she said, yes, I go to a church in Bowling Green. And she told me the name of it. I can't even remember what it was. And she said, I said, well, who's the pastor over there? She said, it's Apostle blank blank. I said, Apostle? I only read about 12, and I didn't see his name in there.
Amen.
I didn't say that, but I thought that. But I've heard about this man before. I actually seen him one time in Bowling Green. Went out to eat after church one night and seen him. I wanted to say, it was whenever my back was hurting, I wanted to ask him if he could fix it, but I figured whenever he walked by and his shadow went over me, I figured that'd take care of it, since he was an apostle. It's the way Peter was. I don't think he's an apostle. I think he's a prophet that pretends. And we've got a lot of these pretenders today. Amen.
Amen.
There's the priest that profane. There's the princes that profit. There's the prophets that pretend. And lastly, there's people that persecute. People that persecute. Look at verse number 29 with me. This is my last point, so everybody can loosen up now. 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Now I've been applying each section here with what it would be today. The people that it's talking about here are the Jewish people. I was talking to a friend of mine about this. I was talking to Elijah Coger. If any of y'all know him, he's my friend that we go out street preaching stuff. We was holding signs Monday night, and we was talking. I was telling him about this text, and I said, now that last point, I'm just not sure how to relate the Jewish people with another word that starts with P. Because, you know, we Baptists, we have to use our alliteration.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know a word that would work. He said, well, you could do the Presbyterians. I thought that was funny. But I'm not talking about the Presbyterians. It's not just them we could relate it to. We could relate this Jewish people here to the people of the United States today. I'm not talking about just the church. I'm talking about our old country.
Yeah.
The people of our country. He wasn't talking about the saved. He was talking about the people of Israel. So we could apply this to the people of today, people that persecute. It said, firstly, in our text there, in verse number 29, it said, they have used oppression and exercised robbery. I thought about the 2020 riots, exercising robbery, looting, stealing, exercising robbery. I read in an article this week, I believe a study was conducted in 2021, that said there are 3,000 burglaries that happen every day in the United States. That's people that persecute. That's people that are exercising robbery. Robbing, stealing, looting. It said that these people did those things. The people of the land. The people of our land are still doing this thing.
Amen.
People of every land are still doing this thing, even though it was wrote 593 years before Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem. There was people doing this, there's people doing this now, and there will be people that will always do that.
Amen.
Nothing new underneath the sun. They exercised robbery. They also vexed the poor and the needy. I remembered a story back in Second Samuel chapter number 12, where David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, and Nathan had come to him and was going to tell him a story. He told him, and I'm paraphrasing, he said there was this rich man, he had everything. And then there was this poor man. The only thing he had was this little lamb that he took everywhere. He raised it up. He fed it off the same plate. He slept with it. He did everything with it. It was his only thing he had. And some of the rich man's family come in to visit. And he needed something to eat to give it to him. And instead of going out to his flock and his herd and his abundance, he took the only thing that poor man had and took his lamb to use it for that rich man's food. And David, not knowing no better, he said, surely that man will be put to death. And that preacher, he looked at him, he said, David, thou art the man, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thou art the man.
Amen.
You say, what happened? There was a man who vexed the poor and needy. That man Uriah the Hittite. I have no doubt that he was a poor man. The only thing he had was his beautiful wife Bathsheba. That's all he had. But he was trying to do right and do for his country and serve the king David. And he got done wrongfully. David had vexed the poor and the needy man, Uriah. The only thing he had was his wife. We need to help the poor today. We need to help the poor. There's a whole lot of people, it seems like today, that people kind of step back from that a little bit. I know it's harder to tell whether somebody's poor or whether somebody's just trying to get money off of it. I realize that. But that still don't negate the fact that we are told in God's Word to help those that are poor and needy. In Proverbs 19, verse 17, it said, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord.
Amen.
I believe it's Matthew chapter number 26 where Jesus said, you fed me when I was hungry. You gave me water when I was thirsty. You put clothes on me when I was naked. You gave me a house to live in when I was homeless. I'm paraphrasing. And they said, Jesus, we ain't never done that to you. And Jesus said, whenever you did that to the least of these, you did it unto me.
Amen.
We as Americans, we live in a blue-collar area where we work hard for what we have. We put a great respect upon work, and we should, as we should. And I'm going to say we, because I'm including myself, oftentimes pass by somebody with a sign and say, get a job! Amen! What if we would have walked past Jesus sitting there, not even having a place to lay his head, and would have looked at him and said, "Get a job!" Amen. As Steve Pruitt says, hello! We need to help the poor today. They exercised robbery. They vexed the poor and needy. And they oppressed the stranger wrongfully. I thought about times that we have a visitor in our church. A stranger. Somebody we don't know. I never have this problem that I'm about to talk about. I've never had this problem. Don't think I ever will. But somebody's stealing your seat. My seat's on the front row right next to Brother Brian. I've never had nobody want to steal my seat. If you're in the back row, you might have a whole other story. But we don't need to oppress strangers wrongfully. Have a visitor come in, have a stranger sit down and say, "That's my seat." I think you've got to be pretty ignorant to do that. To somebody who has come to the house of God, and you ought to be thankful that they're there, no matter where they're sitting. And you ought to thank God that they stumbled into the house of God. I had a man tell me a story that happened at his church a while back. There was this man who had a teenage daughter. And whenever the daughter was young, the mom and dad, they split up, they divorced. And the daughter hadn't been in church in years. Because the mom wanted to keep her out of church or keep her somewhere else. I can't remember the details. He didn't tell me the details. I don't need to know the details. But the girl hadn't been in church in years. And she was able to come with her dad to church. And the day that she came to church, it just so happened to be on a day where they had a fellowship meal after the service. And church ended, church went well. They went down to the fellowship hall to about to eat their meal there. And a man in the church come up to her. And he come up to her and he said, "You know, that's just like you. Come back to church on the day that we got a meal."
Oh my.
First day back! And guess what? She ain't been back since. You say, what happened? It was a stranger that got treated wrongfully. I've heard the phrase my whole life, "You ought not lie in church. You ought not do this in church." We ought not do none of them things anywhere. But if we are going to be kind, even Paul said it, we need to be kind to people, especially to those of the church of God. Especially to those. If there's anybody you're going to show kindness to, if there's anybody you're going to treat with respect, if there's anybody you're going to be nice to, it needs to be those in the house of God. No matter who they may be. I believe in that. I don't believe in these people being mean to people. Especially in the church of God. They oppress a stranger wrongfully. I'm coming to a close. Seth, brother, get a song ready. Verse number 30. Look at verse number 30 with me and then we'll be done. This is God speaking. He said, "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." We need to stand in the gap today. There is a gap that needs to be stood in by us. Everything that I've talked about that these people have done, everything that is listed here in this chapter that tells what the priest had did, had told what the princes had did, had told what the prophets had did, had told what the people had did, we need to do the exact opposite. We need to keep the holy holy. We need to separate from the world. We don't need to vote for wicked politicians. We need to not listen to false prophets. We need to help the poor and we ought to be kind to others. But whenever God got to looking for somebody like that, He said, "I found none. One. And I can find that way." All of these things, keeping the holy holy, keeping separate, not voting for wicked politicians, all them things is an evidence of salvation. It's an evidence of salvation that you've been transformed by God.
Amen.
If God was to look at your life tonight and to look for these things, if He was to look in your life and look for a time and a place where you ask God to save you, if He was to look for a heart that had been cleansed by Christ's blood, if He was to look for a cry of salvation, if He was to look for all these things, would He look at you and say, "I found none"? What would He say if He was to look into our hearts, look into our lives, and look for these things? Look for salvation. Look for separation. Look for separation. Look for separation. We don't hear much about that anymore, Brother Eddie. Everybody wants to hear the gospel. Everybody wants to hear what salvation's about, and we need to hear that. But Brother Eddie, I believe that once we get saved, there's some other things we need to hear about. We all need to hear about separation, being separate from the world, not being isolated from the world. I ain't talking about being Amish, but I'm talking about being separate from the world, not being like the world. Would God look in your life and look for those things and say what He said here? "I found none." If He is able tonight to look in your life and say, "I found none," you will have the same result that they had in verse number 31, where He said, "Therefore, because He had found none, have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath." If Jesus looks into your life and He looks for a time where you got saved and He says, "I find none," you will experience the fire of the wrath of God in hell. He better not look at you and say, "I found none," because it's not a good end. You'll end up in the fire just like they did. Verse number 30 said that He was looking for a man to make up the hedge. That word, "make up the hedge," it means to build a wall. We need to build a wall between us and the world. We need to build a wall between us and temptation. We need to build a wall between us and God. We need to build a wall between the holy and the unholy. We need to be separate from the world. We need to separate from the world and separate to God. Leave the bad and cling to that which is good. We need to be sanctified, separated, and set apart.
Amen.
Verse number 30, He said that, "I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap." Will you stand in the gap tonight? Will you stand with God? Will you stand for God? Maybe you've never took a step in God's direction and you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you need to be saved tonight.
Amen.
Dear Lord God, I thank You for the message tonight, Father. Lord, I thank